Oh, that's my Prime delivery.
What, already?
Only one thing can match the buzz of Prime's fast delivery, and that's the buzz of Prime's entertainment.
What are we watching?
Heads of State, that new action comedy with Idris Elba as the Prime Minister, John Cena as the President, and Priyanka Chopra Jonas as their only hope. Looks like a blast.
From fast delivery to explosive entertainment, it's on Prime. For only $8.99 a month, join now. Content includes limited ads, subscription auto-renews. For more information, go to amazon.co.uk/prime.
Rated T for Teen.
Each year, thousands of adults lose their shred. It's an epidemic simply known as shred loss. But it doesn't have to be this way. Because rekindling your shred is as easy as playing the new Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4. With new parks, cross-platform multiplayer, and sick new game modes, we can put an end to shred loss everywhere. Get the new Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4 and show the world that the shred's not dead. Get Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4 available now.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and I wish to take Ben's eyes.
Pigeons are cameras.
They're not real. They're government drones.
Tell that to cats.
I just want you to mount the curb and kill these pedestrians here and come to an emergency stop afterwards. Lovely. Thank you very much.
In the end, my wife blew herself up and the car was scrapped.
Hello and welcome back to the 39th Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast with myself, Edwin, Will to my left, and Benjamin behind the camera.
Hello.
Very nice, clean one, Ben.
Thank you.
You might notice if you're watching this one, it might sound the same, but we are reverse order in the unit. That's because a VX220 is stuck on jack stands behind us and there's no space. But at the beginning of every single Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast, we ask the question, do cars rule or ruin everything around us? William, what is this week?
I'm just going to go with a ruin.
But is it a mixed bag?
No, not sort of. I've bought bits that I'm excited about, but they're not bits that, you know, they're not necessary bits.
Okay.
Like, because also the Range Rover had a caliper issue or still has a caliper. It's not undrivable. It's just annoying. And then the Megane's.
What has happened with the VX220?
Now, the VX220, we tried to put on the lift, and because it is a lightweight and the engine is right out back, it's not that simple. So we actually put it up on the lift and it basically would have fallen off the back.
Yeah.
The way we had it with the jacking
points. You touched the back end of the car, like with a finger.
And it just...
And it started tilting back to fall off.
And I didn't really fancy working under it like that.
No.
And some people, you can put like a sandbag in the towing eye at the front, but we don't have that.
No.
So I said, fine, we're it's back to the trenches. We're on the ground on jack stands, albeit we're indoors, which is fortunate. I have now since worked out how to put it on a lift.
Nice.
But I now
just
can't
after
put it on lift.
After we put it on the jack stands.
Because now it's on jack stands with all of its suspension arms off. So this car is getting full sort of suspension refresh, few engine service bits, aux belt, new wheels as well. But it's currently immobile. Hopefully only until tomorrow morning though, because we're waiting on a part. Other than that, I just overall ruin.
And the Range Rover caliper, I heard it when you came in.
Yeah, it's got better.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, fine.
You always like that with brakes, when a sound starts and then starts to slowly go away.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But
just self-clearance.
I'm having it serviced tomorrow, so.
Benjamin?
Yes, I am a ruin again for the second week in a row.
Something I wanted to mention is that we mentioned in the Supercar Driver podcast, you said, it's great the X5 is away getting its bushings fixed.
Yeah.
It's kind of, they've been squeaky, Ben.
Why so squeaky?
Oh, the bushes and those, man, they're so soft.
So
it's like you got to change them every, like, it's sort of
every drive.
Every 5 days or like 50 miles, whatever comes.
No,
I took it to the garage to get it done and I just got messed about. So they've not been done.
They haven't been
so
done.
So I have now spoken to a different man.
But your clear gearbox is done, right?
Hmm.
Although, do you know what? This was a classic, Benism. When it was, you had a worrying click, correct, from your car.
Well, it's like after track day, I have a weepy gearbox, which may have already been happening before, I don't know. And then I have now, when I lift up, if I accelerate and then lift off the accelerator, as the car resettles, if you will.
Yeah, under load.
Something in the drive shaft, suspension, something makes like a...
Something in the way.
One sort of like click noise, like when it's resettling and kind of worryingness. So please, Will, now believe me.
I'm on it.
On my way.
You thought it was gearbox. We kind of thought it doesn't sound very gearboxy in the way that it's doing that. Not in the way that they fail anyway. And then the other day, I got a phone call, first thing in the morning, from Ben. He's like, it's an L. It's an L for me. And I was thinking, Ben's about to get, like, he's about to tell me the worst possible. Yeah,
the gearbox sort of, like, imploded for it. And exploded.
And then it got, he explained it all to me. And then at the end, I just said, oh, hang on. The Kleck has no relation to your gearbox. He went, oh, no.
We don't know that yet. I haven't actually found out. So the Clio is off at a specialist currently having its belts done, the big job, mm-hmm. which was great because now I'm getting that done at the same time as all the other expensive stuff. So that is separate. That's just maintenance. So as it's there and the guy doing it is a specialist, I said, can you just have a look and tell me what's wrong? So I kind of said, like, they do it on the side, like Renault specialist stuff on the side. So I said, like,
no, mate, then he's doing the engine.
But it's not their main day-to-day thing, but okay. He's a specialist. Because of that, like I said, it's been a little bit of a longer process. So he needs to have a proper look at it, he said still, but he doesn't think it's in the gearbox. But he has told me the gearbox does need doing. So
great.
But what he said is that basically the gearbox has the symptoms of one that is going and that it will go at some point.
But it's kind of been like that.
Yeah, it's
kind of been like that since I owned it.
Since
you bought it.
It's definitely got worse after track day. But he basically said to me, you can do it now. It doesn't have to be done now. So I just need to work out what to do next with it, basically. So you'll need a gearbox rebuild. Whether that is in 2 weeks, in 6 months, in a year, I don't know. So it's a ruin.
It's a ruin,
yeah,
for now.
For now, but I don't know the details. And I intend to bring the creamers the hottest take.
Okay.
Hottest news.
I think I am a rule this week. Because we've got the TVR to turbo, and I'm excited for that this week. You haven't seen it yet. In a little while, you're going to see some stuff about my Evo, and I'm not spoiling it yet. But I've also been ordering parts, perhaps parts to rebuild an entire engine. Perhaps they're those. Perhaps those are because it needs it. Well, perhaps instead it's because I want it. We can only see. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm happy. I don't think there's anything else to report. It's been pretty quiet on the Eastern Front.
Where's the Merc?
That's, you know what, that's a really good point.
I wondered that the other day. Where is the Merc?
The Merc vanished one day. I thought, you know what, it'll be back in like 2 days. It just hasn't come back.
No, it hasn't come back.
Don't come into school tomorrow.
It's just sat, and I meant to do it this weekend, but couldn't, to actually drop it at, for the first time in many, many moons, drop a car at a person that works on cars for a living, because I don't want to deal with it. I wanted to sell it, and then one day I came in, it had a leak from the power steering again, which is one of the things that happened at the beginning. I don't want to deal with it anymore. So I want to give it to someone for them to fix it so that I can sell it and not sell someone a dog, because otherwise someone's going to go, this is great. And I'll go, mate, this is great.
Oh, it's amazing.
And they're going to get home and go, why is my driveway stained?
Who is this?
By power steering. I go, what? I thought these were manual steering, mate. I didn't even have one.
No, it's a weeping power.
So yeah, no swindling single mothers of four with a C55 AMG.
I was going to say, yeah, if you're a single mother of four, you're going for the C55.
I'm just trying to transport them in style and power. So that's disappeared. I do want to get the 8 series out though. So I would like to.
It must be coming. It's coming up. It's time.
It's time. It's summer.
Time to put away for the winter.
So yes, but rule all round for me.
Ruin for me.
Yeah, ruin.
Two ruins and a rule.
What have we got for anecdotes? No, sorry, news.
I don't really think there is something you put in here, Ben, the other day that interested me because I hadn't heard about it, and that is that Forza Motorsport is done.
Yeah.
I've read this briefly most news.
Okay. And you've done no research?
Ben starts with such confidence on news.
The preface, as usual, is that please don't listen to anything I say because I've read a headline, effectively. But do you know what? It's a good exercise for people using the internet.
Is it?
Yeah, it is, because it's showing that everyone sits on their podcast and claims they know, and I'm saying I don't.
I think most people maybe do a little bit more research than that. They just, you know
what? I've got videos to make.
You know what? They don't just read the headline, they read the stand first. They just read the first paragraph and go, cool, there's the information. Cool.
I have read one article.
Ben stops halfway through the title. He goes, Forza... Anyway,
it's dead.
It's gone. Forza Motorsport. I'll talk about that on the podcast.
So Forza, I find it interesting. I get overexcited. Okay, fine.
Right, here we go.
Forza Motorsport, allegedly from an insider at the game, is that they have basically scrapped it. It's done.
Right.
So they're now focusing on just Horizon and the Motorsport will be done. This is not confirmed by anyone, especially by myself, because I don't know.
It's information of the week.
Well, possibly. Well, I do it every week. So
that is sad.
Yeah.
But also the last few have been garbage.
I haven't played one since 5, which maybe one. I haven't owned one since
P1.
4.
P1?
But yeah, 5 was whatever we had at Car Throttle. We had one of them at Car Throttle.
5 was there because Car Throttle was it was on the cover. It said like rated 5 stars by Cop.
It
was either that or 6.
And it was taken out of context. It wasn't, the full quote was like,
yeah,
we would rate this 5 stars if it was this. But they went, cool, we rate this 5 stars.
Someone say 5 stars? I'd rate this 5 stars if it was dreadful.
If it was out of 100.
I do kind of get it though. Because with like an open world racing game, there is quite a lot of variation, like the map, what cars you can do, the customization, that sort of thing. When it is racing race cars on a racetrack, like what really can you change?
Well, I think the other thing is, but that's the thing. I think they can't compete in terms of physics and that sort of stuff. So why don't they go to their strong point, which is doing the open world fun stuff? And I wonder if Horizon sells more units.
Oh, it must.
Forza Horizon. Let's find out.
But Forza Horizon 6 is next year, so maybe they're putting a bit more.
There's Forza has been around longer, but there are now almost as many Horizons as there are most.
Yeah, Motorsport 6 was the last one.
The last one. The sales for that for Forza Horizon Motorsport is.
I got that on Game Pass. So the only reason I downloaded that is because I say free, but you know, I didn't pay 70 quid for it.
Supposedly, Forza Motorsport 7 did 1.52 million copies. Forza Horizon 5 was 2.2 million on PS5.
Which is only just
on PS5, supposedly. Yeah. That's incredible, then. Supposedly.
So that makes sense.
Supposedly, Forza Horizon 5 tops 45 million active players. Wow. So compared to if there were 1.5 million sales of Forza Motorsport 7, then yeah, okay, you can see why not just the accountants, but someone's gone, why are we still doing this?
Mm. Also, when you could allocate that resource to, making next Horizon even better. But the thing is that it's just racing on a racetrack. There's only so many racetracks, only so many cars. It's just, and then when that Gran Turismo does it so well anyway, why would you?
But the thing that Forza Motorsport, and if you're not into games, this is, so you know, Forza Horizon is an open world, like drive your car on a map that is somewhere from across the country. It started in Colorado, then it went to Italy, etc. Forza Motorsport is a more traditional Gran Turismo, choose a car, choose a track, race. But I think the thing that Forza Motorsport always did is they usually had some fun stuff too. Like you can go on the Top Gear track.
Yeah, and they're car football.
You can play car football. You can do drifting down a Japanese mountain. Those tended to be the cool bits, whereas I don't know, I haven't played the most recent ones.
Also, it was the early ones seemed to have some kind of progress. To be fair, I played 7 and it has progression, but it doesn't feel the same as you'd start out with like a Ford KA or something in some of the early ones.
Yeah.
But Forza 4 was peak.
That was it. The cars were, you know what, in a lot of ways, way better than Gran Turismo cars.
Yeah.
Some weird stuff.
You know, 5 versions of the same thing.
No.
Gran Turismo just released an update with a Peugeot 5008 or a 2008. What the hell? And a Delta rally car, which is cool, but also the Deltas, there's already a Delta in the game. And some, I can't remember what the other thing is.
The Peugeot? Is that what you said? 2008 said that? Or a Sorry, yeah, you said the Peugeot. Let's have a look.
Something else French. But anyway, it's just bizarre. I don't know who's asking for this. It feels like marketing-y
stuff. It was Citroën AX type thing.
Oh, it was like a BX or one of those.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. But yeah, Forza Dying is sad, but they've just been getting it wrong. Like every time it launches with like the worst possible press.
That is a crazy lineup of cars to have at a game in 2025. I get it. They have to appease manufacturers. Mm. Stellantis has gone, all right, run us up some cars so we look cool, and we'll make some that look like we're in car enthusiasts. And then they tried to sneak in the Peugeot. They went, guys, you love this one.
I was about to tell something, and I don't know what the name of it is, but there is a game I saw. Someone out there will know what this
Cooler
is.
World.
Here's a new Cooler World. That's the one. Here's a new racing game coming out soonish. I think maybe it's on console. I don't know, but it's like proper motorsport game. Bit like what Project Cars
Simpsons
was.
Hit and Run, I think. That's what it's called.
No, it was it's Road Rage.
Oh.
But like you can start out at whatever point and you have a budget and
racing though? Yeah. As in racing
like
race
racing,
cars?
Like a simulator racing, okay. Yeah. I bought a sim recently and I'm now looking. I'm looking for games to play.
You said you bought a Seto Corsa, right?
I already had a Seto Corsa and on PC because I was like, why not? I'm downloading this, but the keyboard's just not the one.
Or is it W and A just
and
as
now,
quick as possible?
An actual steering wheel setup. It's just great. But I tried to play a set, of course, at Evo, which is that like free.
So that is, you can drive around the outside of the Nürburgring.
Yeah. Also, like, crazy custom, but you can like change the stitching on seats and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, it's got like factory options on. You can change like.
Well, Test Drive Unlimited. Like, yo, yeah. What's going on here?
It is. What else we got on news?
Before yeah, sorry. For those of you that aren't into games, you're like, I don't
know. Skip. Anyway, games. There's a few bits we actually missed last week. Edwin, do you know about Swingers yet?
No, still don't know about Swingers.
One
day I'll remember the Swingers.
I thought you mentioned it.
But just to you off podcast.
On the podcast last week. I thought you mentioned Swingers.
We mentioned that I couldn't remember what it was.
Okay, cool. So maybe next one?
Maybe next one, okay. Probably not.
Alpinas at train stations?
Yeah, so I had to go into London last week. I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah, woe is me. And I took a train because that's the best way to get into London, unfortunately. Mm. And I stopped at a petrol station, at the train station, I had to park up. And I walked through the premium parking, the posh parking that was closer to the train station. And there I saw simply a delectable Alpina B3 in the green. It's a wagon. So it is of imagine the M3 touring generation now. The most recent 3 series, but with, and I think that has the engine, that has the S58. It has the, what's called? The M3 engine.
What, in that?
I believe so. I believe that's what the new Alpina B3s
is
have.
Is it not a B58?
I don't, no, I think they
was. Is it not based on M340?
Alpina B3S.
BESS.
2025.
Because if that's the case, then that's just like a nice looking M3.
Exactly. My whole point.
I don't hate the JHT M3 now front end as much, but that, if as an M3, would be quite
Alpina
nice.
B3.
But he doesn't have the width.
No, but he looks. I like how it's not so angry. It has.
If I was going to lease a new car, that's what I'm getting.
Who's she?
M3's okay. Full fat S58 straight six into the engine bay.
What the?
So the new the B3 GT. Is, I don't know if that was a GT or if that's a lower one, but anyway, you can get that. So it looks like that, but it has the full fat M3 engine, which is why I like them. But anyway, I saw one and I was thinking, that is ultimate London train station, man.
Mm.
That is, no. I don't want to put the M5 on display every day at the car park. I want normal people to walk past and go, it's just a 3 series.
Just a man in his green car.
Just a 3 series. And I was pondering this on the train. And then the next stop, literally the next stop, pulls up, I look out, you can see the car park from the train. What's there? An Alpina B5 bi-turbo. Same colour, green, the Alpina green colour. This is a fact now.
Alpina's a train station car.
Alpina is the ultimate train station car. There are some other, on RS6, not so much now, early days RS6, second gen V10, good train station, London bred man.
Yeah.
He gets home from the train. A 25-minute drive turns into a 10-second drive.
Can I just say quickly?
Yeah.
You can tell that image is zoomed in by the quality. So I guarantee that is you. You saw that like a hawk.
Yeah, no, I did. Yeah, genuinely. I was across the other side of the train.
You are just a man broken.
I had to peep it out. But that is, what other, there are some other good ones. Some other, but I couldn't think of them. But I think the Alpina is the best station car.
I remember the station near where my dad used to live. So I don't know. This must be 10 plus years ago. There was a guy who used to just drive a CSL, M46, wow. M3 CSL. This was like before values went up, but they were still way more valuable than a normal M3.
Yeah.
Also, he's just there would have been one day where he goes, oh, this is worth more than I thought it was going to be worth.
Oh.
He's just driving it like 3 miles to a train station every day.
Yeah, his car's got 8,000 miles on it. Some collector's like, I'll buy that for me.
So next up, we've got, this is a comment. This is a comment I screenshotted.
Here we go. I like this one.
And there's some backup for this
one. Is this perhaps Clown of the Week?
This is, he's got the nose.
Yep.
He's got the big ass shoes. He's got everything. He's got, like, he's got the whole get up on. This is a man called, now I'm not going to say a name. I'm not going to give you 15 minutes. He says, it always bugs the out of me when you self-proclaimed car guys mispronounce things. Gallardo. It's not difficult to say Gallardo. Bill Stein. It rhymes with pine, blah, blah, blah. And he goes on and on and on, says lots of other brands. And he says, I know you did discuss this before, but seriously, it makes you sound, can't say the word. And your excuse was just, can't say the word. Other than that, good job.
So, and I remember what the excuse was. The excuse was Akon calls it a Lamborghini Gallardo.
Yeah.
So, come on. I was a child. If what pop culture is saying is that's what I grew up knowing it to be.
But also, right, now that this was my thinking sort of beforehand anyway, is that, yes, it's a Spanish word, but who made it?
An Italian car company.
It's an Italian car company.
Yeah.
Now, I was scrolling through Instagram.
It's a Spanish word.
Yeah, Spanish bulls.
Like Murcielago, isn't that how you say it? No. It's Murcielago.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say it. I remember seeing, because they're like Spanish
bulls
fighting bulls. And that's what all Lamborghinis are named after.
I did not know
or
that.
At least they were.
But why they choose Spanish things when they're Italian?
There's a long story.
You have to speak to Ferruccio, mate.
Is he around?
Not at the moment.
Does that mean
I think
he's
dead.
Does that mean that? I didn't know if it was like he was busy or something.
Yeah, no. Okay, well, also he's not on speed dial for us.
There's a very long story that maybe we'll get into on another podcast about, but it's quite a cool story. They name it after, they name all the cars after bulls. But most of them are a sort of slightly Spanish name. But again, it's an Italian. They take it and make it, apart from Countach, I think, is the only one.
Yeah.
But even Countach, you don't say it like that anyway.
Countach.
Is that how it's pronounced?
Or Countach or something.
I think it's Tach, yeah. But I was scrolling through Instagram and I see a video of Valentino Balboni being quizzed on the pronunciation.
And who is Valentino Balboni?
Valentino Balboni was a test driver for Lamborghini in the absolute golden age.
From literally day dot. I think Miura was his first time he got to drive them, I think.
So he's there like developing Lamborghinis. Yeah. This guy is Lamborghini. He has a Lamborghini Gallardo named after him, the Gallardo Valentino Balboni.
Yeah.
So I scroll through Instagram, I see this video on pronunciation, and I thought, you know what? I'm ready to be humbled here.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Here we go.
If he says it the way I think he might, then let's go. Final one gets to it. A Lamborghini, a Gallardo.
Yeah.
And he gets crystal, right? He says, no. It's Gallardo.
Yeah. And he says, what is Gallardo? No, Gallardo.
If Valentino Balboni says it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm good with it. And he did say Murcielago.
Yeah, of course. And that's fine. And you know what? I accept I'm wrong on that one.
But I'm not
Gallardo? No, that's the guy. So take your absolute L there, my son.
You chief.
Hold that one.
You whopper.
Because guess what? We got, not only do we have Valentino Balboni on our side, we got Akon on our side.
That is a hell of a team.
we're starting a team.
We're assembling the Avengers. It's Convict. Japanese car introductions you've put here.
Yes. So this is something, this is a random one, but there is a website called Minkara Car View. It's a Japanese website, and it started a very long time ago, early to mid 2000s. And it was a kind of like a Facebook for cars in Japan.
Yeah.
So you add to your profile what cars you own and you do like a car introduction. Japanese people tend to be very, they're very proud of their cars, and they tend to personify them a little bit. So anyway, on this site, you could add an introduction to your car. You could even put a photo of your old car and give some information about it. There is no, you can't get onto it as an English person now. You can only have if you have a Japanese VPN, is the only way you can get onto this site. It's blocked for all other countries. But I was just doing some research on Evo once, because I was like, there's probably going to be some stuff on there, and found the car introduction section. And while going through it, Will, you're not going to like it that much, because you don't have as much of a bond with cars.
No.
But Ben, I think you'll like this, and I think the audience will like it. But there were some in there that were actually a bit like, oh man, what car, man, random Japanese man, you're making me sad. So I thought I'd screenshot some. I don't have my computer. Here's a go, Evo 1, and it says simply below it, it was my beloved car that taught me the joy of cars. I had to sell it due to a change in my living environment.
You went to outer space.
No cars allowed here, mate.
No comments though.
This one was incredible. I can't remember. So this is, I think, the photo of the car. I've been with this car for 14 years and 3 months, covering distance of 200,000 kilometers. I got to know a load of people through the car and experienced things like circuit driving, which was an unknown world to me until then. It's a car I'll never forget. And then the other one, which is this one. This one was great. I impulsively bought a new car at Mitsubishi dealership when they told me we can sell it with a two-seater plus a roll cage as a dealer option. Wow. He then goes through all of the stuff he's done to it over the years, and it gets to this at the end. My child was born, and after much deliberation, I decided to put an end to my life. No, don't worry. That's just a Japanese translation error.
Whoa.
With only two people in the car. Okay, we're safe. We left the other Santa because it didn't cost much to maintain. But then at the bottom, my wife, who wasn't interested in cars, seems to have come to understand that the car is not just a tool by driving the Lancer. I think the Lancer was a good teacher for us. Thank you, Lancer. I'm sorry I let you go. I'll never forget you.
Oh, Jesus.
What's going on, man?
Why everyone so sad?
Why are you making me cry?
Is this just like a funeral for their cars on this site?
Yeah, here's a go. I got to know, did we already read this one? Yeah. Where's the other one? This one was quite funny. Will, could you read this one?
I couldn't, this is Evo number two. I couldn't maintain my motivation because of the constant breakdowns. And then I went back to my old girlfriend.
But there are infinite ones. This one's a good one. The end. You gotta go from there. Another translation error.
He talks about issues he's had, and then he says, "In the end, my wife blew herself up, and the car was scrapped."
Crazy way to go. Nasty way to go. And then below that,
still, it was fun. I'd like to ride it again if I get the chance.
Yeah. So there's a little bit. Some of it's quite touching and heartfelt. Some of it's a little bit dodgy on the Google Translate. But I might have to do a look each week for some Japanese Minkara, what's called car reviews, because they're quite funny. But yeah,
what could that have possibly been? Blowing herself up.
I think it meant that she was unhappy,
or because she blew the car up.
Maybe, perhaps,
or maybe she did blow herself up.
Maybe she got so upset.
And the guy said, "All right,
yeah, you know
all right,
you know what? You've made your point. I'll get rid
of sell the car.
I'll jump in the forums quickly."
Amalfi Ferrari, Ben, you put this in. I don't think we talked about this last
week. This was last week's news and we didn't quite get to it here yet. Oh no, I thought you were sneezing, sorry.
No.
There is a new Ferrari called the Ferrari Amalfi, and this is to replace the Ferrari Roma.
The Dr. Melfi is a car. That's a crazy one.
I think I saw a picture of this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you see a picture of this?
It's the same.
Have you seen that car?
Is that not just a Roma?
Joyous. I'm going to say it. This is what I want to bring up on the podcast. Edwin, please type in the new Honda Prelude.
Okay, sure. Ooh. Now, for visual, non-visual viewers.
Basically, what is the Ferrari Roma is a two-door coupe Ferrari. I think it's meant to be like their sort of Grand Tourer type thing. And I'm gonna be honest with you. I can't afford one. I've got no way of saying anything about this. I don't like it. Never liked it. I don't like how the front grille is the same color as the paint. It looks stupid. This, though, is nice.
This is nice.
It's basically a Ferrari Roma, but it looks nice.
I think it's smoother. Better. Yeah.
Like a Roma concept.
That's a
there you go. And there is the new Ferrari Amalfi.
Basically, imagine...
Also, that's just a GTA.
So what are we looking at now, Ben?
We're now looking at a Honda Prelude, the new one. Anyone listening Anyone listening that can't see the car, imagine a car, and then imagine a car that looks very similar to that car.
Oh, okay. But perhaps just a little bit different.
Well, by a different brand, different country.
Yeah.
And then I think, yeah, that's about it.
Can I see the Ferrari once more?
Okay, here you go. And there it is.
There it is.
No, that's the same one, but there you go.
How do you open the door?
There it is.
It's
got a handle.
Just, I couldn't see that.
People for the first time seeing cars.
In the shadows. It's okay.
In this thing.
Do you know what? I like that it's not too busy.
Yeah,
I
agree.
It's not, but then the design doesn't have like angles and
yeah,
and stuff.
I agree with that. This is going back towards like Ferrari 550 type days, and I like it.
But this genre of Ferrari, I'm not into. This California, Roma, that genre of Ferrari is lost on me.
But wasn't that what the 296 was supposed to be? It was supposed to be a baby one, and then yet
no,
it's now
296 is bread.
No, I know, but wasn't it always still supposed to be like, we're still, he's kind of like more like these guys, where he's like a small guy.
I don't think so.
No?
I think he's meant to be Speedy Gonzales.
A spicy one.
I was going to say, do you know what it is? That is a
Oh, it's a Ferrari.
You know what? Come to think of it, that's a Ferrari.
That's a Ferrari.
It's an F-Type.
No, do you know what it is? It's a facelift of a Roma.
Yes,
I wouldn't call that a new Ferrari. It looks too similar. It's just a facelift.
But that's what Ferrari have always done.
That's fine. I'm not criticizing.
You know, the 348, the 355, the 360, the 430.
Not that much recently, though. I thought about that the other day because I saw a 550 on the road, and I thought a 550 and a 575 to the layman. I struggle to. I'm sure there are differences, and there are differences. But if I see one go past, I wouldn't be able to recognize it immediately. Whereas like F12. 812 and then the 12 cylinder, they're all very different looking things.
The 360 to 430, which is, they're based on the same thing, but they look very different.
Yeah,
because at 488 to F8 are related.
Yeah,
they are kind of similar sort of thing.
Well, 458 to 488 as well, they're similar.
That's true,
looking
to be
things
fair. Anyway, I just
we were looking at 458s the other day.
To buy.
Not like that, as I'm saying. No, no.
Yeah, we were looking at, we might buy.
We were sat over there, and this was one of our lunchtime things.
We might pick one up.
Let's have a look at prices of things. And we were quite surprised because we were trying to see, like, just go, what's the cheapest 458 for sale? And we were quite surprised to see that they were under £100,000.
You know, under 100 grand. It's really bonkers. You know,
it's the great entry level Ferrari.
Might pick one up on the way home.
But yeah. It was more than mileage.
Yeah, there was. I will find the car. It was a 105 that or ni- no 89,000 or 90,000 pound Ferrari 458.
There are multiple 70,000 to 80,000 mile 458s.
They are 458s with mileage. Now, is that because they were there right around the start of the rental car boom of renting supercars? Probably,
quite possibly.
But at the same time, still impressive. In my head, a 458 is going to turn to mush and dust after 4 miles.
That's a what, 9,000 odd RPM?
Yeah,
V8. And it's just doing 70 odd thousand. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're on their fifth engine. I have no idea. But still, seems relatively impressive to me.
I'll pull that one up, Jamie. Here we go. Price low to high. Now, here it is. It is in the full Dubai spec. We are white. A white Ferrari 458. We'll pull it across the side so you can see it a bit. A white 458 with red interior. But it is a spider.
And it's right-hand drive as
and
well.
It's a right-hand drive.
Lots of the cheaper Ferraris are left-hand drive. It's like a cheap way into.
85,000 miles. And yet, how many? 79,000 miles. Which, you know what? I'd love to know. If it wasn't a rental car, which maniac has just been mashing miles on a 458?
Also, it's car's highlights. Bigger boot.
Oh, it's got a bigger boot. It's
in the top 25% for boot.
If I hit this drop down, will it just say than a car with no boot?
Than the other Ferrari.
It does technically have a boot.
That is truly rental spec.
Yeah. The white with the red?
Yeah.
He's Dubai spec.
I do like a 458. They are very, 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 very nice. Ben, you've put in here the E39 M5.
Okay.
What's that about?
Strapping. Here's one I made earlier.
That is an E39 M5. And yes, day evening, I was driving home to my house where I live.
Ooh, interesting.
And, that's a weird one. Why are we doing that?
I was just getting home to my house.
Sure, okay.
I live there.
Okay.
Anyway, on the way home to my house where I live, I was driving through a village that I often drive through.
Near where you live.
This is a riveting story
so
far.
Yeah. Oh, did I mention I was on the way to my house where I live?
Oh, you live there, okay.
Anyway, I was driving past there and this garage was open.
Wow.
And in the garage, there was a man, he was just going through boxes and stuff.
Sure.
And in the garage was an E39 M5.
Lovely.
But it was like in storage. I'm talking, there were boxes all over it, stuff everywhere. Ooh. And it wasn't being driven.
Hold. Did you see the front or the back of the car?
Back.
Okay, fine. So you did see the M5 badge.
Yes.
And you saw the four exhausts.
Yes, but sure. I need to confirm because I drove past and I just thought, nah. I haven't driven past since and the garage may not be open, but I now need to find out because my brain immediately said, that can't be right.
Did you see the plate?
No.
Jeez. Did you know what the color is?
Yes.
What is the color?
It was like a blue. Silvery color.
Silvery blue.
Silverstone
blue.
Get me, put it up.
Here we go.
I don't think so. I think it was more sort of silvery silver.
Okay. Oh, so you could just be a what's it called? Yeah. So here you go, Benjamin. So Ben, for reference, this is a Silverstone blue E39.
And it had these mirrors.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Come on, Ben. You've got to try for us, mate.
I drove past 35 miles an hour.
All right. That's not far too fast for a 20.
40.
So is that too blue, Ben?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay.
I don't know, but it feels too blue.
Okay.
Which I feel is not rare, but somewhat uncommon.
But here's my question for you. What is it that you don't believe about that? You don't believe that someone would be leaving stuff around?
A mirage. I might not have been hydrated enough. Could have been a mirage. I feel like it's wrong. Why would any self-respecting car owner have an M5 just in their garage?
Because
and I can't describe the scene. It wasn't in the garage like parked up. It was in the garage. It looked dirty.
Yeah, it was.
I'm talking. There were boxes and like sheets and stuff on top of the roof of the car, and like it was packed in there.
He's just playing a barn fight.
Yeah.
It was like dust
that's
everywhere.
That's why. Yeah, it was like a barn find. But
that, it's not common. But it's quite.
But it's an M5.
But I'd get baffled by it though.
Yeah, but at the same time, I say that. But my 8 Series is technically like that. It's sitting in a storage unit waiting for the day that I work on it, which is exactly probably what that is. He's had it for 10, 15, 20 years, and he can't put the time into it to get it happy or where it should be. So he's like, I'll tuck it away and I'll get that. I will get that done. And they never get it done.
I don't trust it.
Here is, I'll show you.
I think either it's a replica
No.
And he's too embarrassed to bring it out now because it's a replica. Or, do you know what? I just think maybe I saw it wrong. But I could have sworn it said M5 on the back.
Now, this here, Ben, I'm about to blow your mind. Here, this was found in France. And that on the left is a Ferrari 250 GT California.
That is basically what it looked like.
There you go.
Bring it over to this side a bit more so the viewers can see.
Sorry, my laptop's blocking a bit. That is a Ferrari 250 GT California. And it was discovered in a barn, and it was basically that exact same thing.
Imagine that, but flip round and a completely different car in a different place and sort of different stuff on top. Mm. But that similar sort of setup was that, and it was packed in there. So that thing hasn't moved for a long time.
But it happens all the time.
But why? Just sell it.
Here's a really good, obviously, late break show, Johnny Smith, but barn find stuff is great. There is also Haggerty in America, because America is the home of the barn find. It is the home of the... I know what I have. I'm going to get around to it. I'll do it at some point. Haggerty do a thing. I think it's called Barnfind Hunter. Incredible show. Go and watch that. You will see 100 of these every day where they're just parked up and they won't sell it. They will not sell it because like, they got big plans.
What's an M5 worth?
15 to 20, depending on spec. I mean, if it's sat there, mashed up, then yeah, it's probably like 15 grand.
Okay, cool. Well, you try and tell me that if you walked into your garage and saw a duffel bag full of 15 grand in cash, you'd be like, you know what, I'll leave that there.
Of course, but there is a sentiment towards it. There's a, if I sell this one, I never get my one back.
Yeah, but you don't have your one at the minute because it's sat there with, yeah, under
a
box.
That's what I don't understand is how people don't look at it and go, well, I'm never getting to that. Why would I?
But they fool themselves into saying they will. Because they're like, I will do that.
The reason everyone's saying it is because
it's me.
That are letting stuff like that, like just rot in a shed somewhere. That it's hoarding.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I think it is.
Also, you understand. I know what I've got, but you know what I mean. If you care about that car, which is a car that anything 9M5. If my mum saw one, she wouldn't necessarily think it's anything special. But people as car people, they know it's special.
If
you care about that car to that point where you won't sell it, you must know it's special. And then why are you letting it sit there?
But at the same time, it's in the way because of selfishness. I don't care if you think it's special. It's mine. I have it. I'll get round to it at some point. But if I sell it, I don't have that thing.
I know, but then it is hoarding.
Yeah, of course. No, I agree.
Okay.
Because you can't use it.
So, yeah. No, you can't use
but
it.
But your Blue 8 series.
Yeah.
That's, you're hoarding that car.
Of course, yeah. I am.
He's holding it. He's holding it.
I'm holding the dip.
You bought the dip.
I bought the dip and the dip is still there.
You're Warren Buffett.
Yeah.
You're buying and never selling.
Exactly that.
Coddle.
I just don't get it. But anyway, I saw that car and I will at some point confirm. I need the guy to open his garage again.
Well, no, here's the thing, Ben. You could, if you were like us, if you were savvy. I see, this is what I would do. I've done it multiple times. Go knock on his door. Not from the standpoint of trying to buy it, but just trying to find out. Just as in, just ask, what's the story?
I don't want to.
So what are you doing with that 5?
Because I've done it. There is a red Corrado G60 that's literally being consumed by bushes.
You've shown us this, haven't you? Yeah,
this was years ago. And I went and knocked on the door, and a guy opened the door, and he was not pleased that I was there. And he was a very tall man. And he went, yeah, show, hello.
He was Dutch.
And I went,
hello.
And I started speaking to him. He was Dutch. And he said, and it was left-hand drive. I never saw that before. I was speaking to him and he's like, yeah, I bought it brand new. I went and collected it from the factory. Hence why he was like, I'm never selling it. Because he was like, I will get it. I'm going to take it to get restored. But I had no intention of buying it. I just wanted to know what the story was.
Yeah.
And he spent like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. He was like, yeah, look, this scratch I got. I was parked in Berlin overnight one night and this guy, drunk guy, crashed on it into it with a bike. I beat the shit out of him. Like, whoa, okay, crazy. but like, I like that stuff. Just go knock on his door and ask him what the story is.
Now, I quite like that angle. But however, I don't understand then why would you like, if you care about that much, why are you letting it? You're hurting it. Do you not have empathy towards your car?
Because someone else will fix it. Someone else
will
look
at it. Yeah, but what's the point in you having it then? But
that's what I'm saying is that if you looked at it and goes, someone else would buy this and fix it today.
But then it's not yours.
But what's a Corrado worth?
But then what are you going to do with it?
What's that Corrado worth?
You can say it's yours. That's what they're saying in their head.
And they go, okay, can you bring it out?
No, yeah, but
that's just stupid though. Yeah. To say it's yours is just stupid.
No, I know. I'm not trying to say that it makes sense, but from a human perspective, you don't want to let go of things that are yours.
I understand that. It has sentimental value. I get it. But, okay, also, well, sorry, what is that Corrado worth?
In that condition, probably like 3 grand.
Exactly. So in that situation, you could kind of get, I mean, 3 grand's a lot of money, but like it's...
But then where's the line?
That's what I mean. Like, but then when you got M5, which is a special thing.
I guess it depends entirely on affordability.
It's a 5 Series with a big engine that they made loads of.
It's special. Look, that's more special than the Corrado.
But to you,
that's a special car. As a thing.
I think they probably made far less G60 Corrados than they did E39. Yeah,
but it's not special.
But there you go. But who chooses that?
Me, I do on this podcast right now.
Guys, we will now...
But, no, I can get it, but also I can't get it. I saw it, I don't believe myself. So I could just be lying here. It could be a 525. Yeah,
Ben's going to drive faster and it's an E60 518.
I think the thing is like that M5, for example, is it being stored inside?
Yeah, in a garage. Yeah, but okay, it's under a sheet and stuff.
People leave it longer and they go, oh, I'll get to that. But it gets worse.
Yeah, it rots. Yeah.
The car actually gets worse. Like cars don't respond very well to being left sat for like 20 years or whatever. It's not the best thing. So like they're just, yeah. I guess if you looked at it from a financial standpoint, it's idiotic, but it's because...
Oh, well, equally though, if he bought that car 5 or 6 years ago at the bottom of the market, he's made money. He's made money with the car sitting there.
Yeah.
And he will get more money for it. Mm. Also, eBay loves a barn find.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people
who will make... Perhaps he's a YouTuber.
Yeah, he's waiting to... you know what? We should make our own content.
He's waiting for Johnny Smith to just go by one day.
What we need to do is just buy a fleet of cars. Like, you know how Christmas tree lots plant trees in different times so that they grow, and then after they cut down one, the next year is ready the next year? We need to do that. We need to put a barn find away every 6 months. And then in 20 years' time, we can just start going through them every month.
That's the guy.
What have we got on the sheet next month? Yeah, we got a Ford Puma coming up.
Or he couldn't find an E39 barn find for his YouTube video, so he's playing the long game. He's
making his own.
If the truth comes out and this is just an M Sport 5 Series,
I'm going to be really upset.
I'm going to be very disappointed.
Oh, no. Anyway.
But then can you actually please go and find out?
I'm not gonna...
Is it near you? You said it's near you, so it's not.
It's on the way to your house where you live, right?
My house where I live. Yeah, I think I was on the way back to my house where I live.
And okay, today you're going to do that?
I'm not going that way today. I will go within probably 5 minutes of that, but not.
God, Ben, go check for the creamers, man.
I'm not going to knock on his door at 10 p.m. on a Monday and be like, and ask
go
him
on.
Pass pest him about what his garage.
Give him one for me.
Joe, I'll pitch the creamers.
What?
If we get enough comments in convincing me to do it,
of course they're going to do it.
But I need to know the creamers one I know.
Sure, fine.
I'm not doing it just for you two.
All right, fine. Wow, fine. See how much Ben cares about us?
He only cares about the creamers.
I do care about the creamers.
Ben.
Hi.
Another one from you.
Oh, wonderful.
Just busy. Booed
straight
out.
Yap in the chat.
SRT being back.
I don't know.
Great.
That's so great.
I actually genuinely intended to read more into that.
Okay, so SRT is back. We'll see you next week.
SRT is back in some capacity. I know that for a fact.
Sorry, I've just got a Motor Trend article here that says SRT is back. wonder what Ben saw.
I will admit on the podcast, I need to, when I see things, read them more detailed so I can actually.
I'm
going
to move on to the next thing that you've written.
Yep.
Unless you've got information.
I've got information here now.
Okay, bring it
is saying
SRT is back.
It's exactly that. Stellantis, which is the parent brand for Dodge, Chrysler, Alfa, Maserati, all those guys. The parent brands of, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram, along with Fiat, Maserati, and a bunch of French brands not sold in America, has announced that SRT will be a company division yet again, undissolving and headed by longtime Chrysler executive Tim Kinesis? Tim Kinesis, who is recently unretired from Stellantis to run Ram and who was just named, in effect, the company's North American brand czar, overseeing Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Now, that's interesting because didn't Ram just go, Hemi's coming back?
Yeah, we'll say back.
So I wonder if Timothy, using his telekinesis, is going, bring it back.
They're getting the gang back together.
They're saying throwing it back.
You're saying Hemi's back. So you got to bring the SRT back, surely.
So, okay. So that means SRT back.
So SRT is back.
Do you know what? Do you know what I want to see? I want to see less, not less, more. And that's it. That's my point. No. No. Instead of it just being like an SRT Challenger, I want to see stuff like the Neon, the SRT 4 Neon.
Oh, okay.
Where they make something that's not traditional. You know when they do like an RS2 or like something weird that no one wants or asked for.
I just don't know enough about American cars to know what that would be.
Yeah, I don't know what that would be now. Probably a Nissan Altima.
Yeah.
Even though it's not Dodge, it'd still be a Nissan Altima.
It still is.
Or a Camry.
I don't know anything about anything, so.
Ben, there's another... Well, I'm hoping you know something about the next one.
Yeah.
Because you've also put in here TVRs.
TVRs. I want to talk about this.
Here you go.
I put it in there.
This one I made earlier.
I would have assumed so.
It's a TVR Chimera. That Lovely. Is what we have, well, Edwin has recently bought for the channel. It's a car, but basically...
Oh, wow, okay, Ben, all right.
I don't really feel much towards it, but anyway...
All right, L, Ben. Fair.
I have seen these everywhere since we bought ours.
Yeah, it's just and been parked over there in the car park.
Oh, it's green. Yeah. I've seen that one a lot. Yeah, no, I keep seeing them everywhere.
Okay.
And yesterday...
When you say on the way everywhere...
Home, on the way home to my house, where live? I live, okay. After seeing an E39 M5, which is possibly just a 520D, I saw another one. And I saw one earlier in the day as well.
Ben saw a TVR Chimera. Brackets, it was an MX-5. Wasn't it?
No, I've seen them everywhere. I keep just...
It's
I keep,
an MGB.
I've never noticed them. I see one maybe... I've probably seen two in the last 5 years. And since we've had ours, I'm seeing them everywhere.
They were... I can't remember if they were the most produced TVR model of all, but they were up there. They were one of the most produced cars.
I think the same man drives them.
He owns all of them?
Every time I see one, it's the same man
Mr.
driving.
Mr. Trevor.
It's ever so slightly grey man.
Yeah.
He's not old, but perhaps he's middle-aged.
6,000 Chimeras were produced between 1992 and 2003, making it the best-selling TVR in history.
I saw a Tamora the other day.
I love
it. Even my girlfriend pointed it out. I was looking at probably sheep in the field.
Interesting.
And then she went, what's that?
What color was the Tamora?
It was like a bluey
green,
sort of silvery blue.
Swordflesh.
Swordflesh, lovely. Ben has hit the reference.
No one will know.
For those of you that don't...
Replace the green with white.
Okay.
So the reference, sorry, I was making before that goes over everyone's head is that when we filmed the video, a little insight into our filming, we filmed the video with Will in his old M3 and Edward in the TVR.
Yeah, just like that.
TVR, whatever it was.
Sorry, don't you ever...
I don't know what it was, I can't remember.
Say his name right.
Chimera.
Say it.
I don't know what it was.
Fix yourself.
It's the same letter.
Literally one here the other day, Ben. You saw
Griffith.
It.
Think of Star Wars in the desert.
Tatooine.
No, you stupid.
What is it?
It's a Tuscan.
Oh, that's one. Tuscan. TVR Tuscan. Basically, Edwin. We did possibly 5 takes. And Edwin trying to say
it might be more.
Yeah,
I couldn't say the word.
All he kept going. Yeah, this is a flip paint, green, blue, whatever, or swordflesh.
Otherwise known as swordflesh blue. And then I go, oh, sorry, let me do that again. As swordflesh blue. Sorry, swordflesh. Yeah.
The original cut of the video had Edwin doing it literally went swordflesh and then cuts to swordflesh and then cuts to swordflesh. But we thought. Possibly, we lost on most people.
Yeah, most people. But what did you think of the Tamora? You don't care for it.
No, it's okay, but it's not a Cigaris.
Which is, you know what? It is fair.
And I think that's fair to say for any TVR.
I agree.
Outside of a Speed 12,
yeah,
you're simply just not a Cigaris.
Even the Tuscan, which is top bins for me.
Yeah.
If I bought one and I saw a Cigaris, I'd be like.
You'd have to just get out.
Also can't get out.
Neither can they.
Stuck in there. Yeah, me too.
I don't get it.
What? Even a Cigaris?
TVRs.
I just don't get TVRs.
Now.
I liked that one we saw at Supercar Driver.
That was a Cigaris.
The silver one.
This guy.
On the Incredible.
I liked it, but because it was more modern, but I don't like
that. I'm not Cigaris and Tuscan back.
Now Ben, talk to me about what is cooler to you. Are you telling me just like a 911 is cooler to you?
I would rather have a 911.
You're such.
I know that's fair. I'm not claiming to be right. I just don't. I don't not even like it. I just don't care.
What?
I don't know. It just doesn't tickle me.
Where are you?
No, I don't know. The Chimera, I really don't like.
Why?
I think it's not crazy enough.
Agreed.
The Tuscan.
Now agreed.
I think ooh, the Tuscan looks awful. Okay. I think it's an ugly car. Wow. However,
you're a donut.
At the front, I don't like the lights. I think it looks stupid. But I can appreciate that it is cool objectively because it's just stupid. Because it's like impractical and stupid, and it wants to kill you.
But why does that make it cool?
A Chimera looks like a normal sports car. However, it's just less practical.
Why is that cool?
Yeah, that's
would you like a cutlery set that's got spikes in the handle?
Probably actually quite cool.
Okay.
So cool. Rock and roll.
Fair enough. Though. There you go. Question
well, that is what makes TVR cool.
Yeah, I'm saying that it's objectively cool. I just don't care for it that much. I like some of them. It depends. The Tusk, I don't think, I wouldn't look at it and go, oh, that's a beautiful thing. But I do, when we were in it, I can appreciate it's special.
Okay, but here's a question for you. A normal 993 GT3, sorry, 992 GT3.
Yeah.
Versus a 993 GT3 RS, which is a cooler looking thing.
993 GT3 RS?
Yeah. Sorry, 992. I meant that, sorry.
He's got those Porsches. Yeah. So it's probably an RS.
Okay, why?
Silly.
Right.
Yeah, but I get it. I listen.
But what I'm saying is it's not a better looking thing.
No, it doesn't look better. No.
But it was cooler.
Yeah.
So if you can see that for the Tuscan, that the dumb stuff is cool, why do you say it's ugly?
I don't think it looks nice.
But that's what I mean. But so then would you say the same thing with the G3 RS?
I think it actually looks nice. Whereas I think the design of it is just not very nice. But I like how, because the thing is, right, is the GT3 RS is it's an okay example, but it's more sort of like, because it's all the stuff on it that makes it look stupid. It's function, yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas TVR is, I'm putting another headlight there because my dog bit the model. and I like that quirk, but like the Tuscan, like I said, I can appreciate it because it's silly. I don't know what the other ones are called. Those ones are cool too. The Camaro, I just don't get it.
No, that I agree with. The Camaro is the most bland kind of looking.
Yeah.
But that's why it sold so well, because it was the most normal-ish looking one.
Tuscan, that like the mid 2000s, early 2000s era TVR back, they feel a bit MG.
Oh, absolutely. And hey, TVR people are gonna be upset. They are. They're badly built. They're not great. They're not good. They're just kind of dumb.
Yeah, you're MG, but I'm a bit wild.
Yeah.
Do you ever?
I'm MG. But I'm green.
But I go to parties.
Yeah. This could be,
and I swap keys.
This might be a very, very sort of like, you will either get this or you won't, right? You ever watch those TV shows?
Yeah,
on the TV. The time. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. Anyway, next topic. No, you ever watch like those car building TV shows where it's usually in America and they go, I've got this money, I'm bringing you this car, make me a custom car, and they always build the car and out of fiberglass.
They're always called like Devil's Ridge Customs or something.
Yeah. And it's always in the desert in Nevada, and I can appreciate what they're making is interesting and cool, but the final result always looks cool. But I look at it and I think that's been made by three people in a workshop. It's like it's fiberglass. Yeah, it's kit car spec thing. Yeah, that's what I'm trying
Welcome
to say.
Welcome back to Brokeback Bastards.
And today, I really enjoy those TV shows, but the cars that they end up in the end,
Brokeback Bastards.
Yeah, the cars that end up in the end are always, they never look like a really nice car. They look like a kit car. And I get that with TVRs where I look at it, I just think like, I like a nicely built car.
I do for the Camaro and the Cerbera. For Tuscan onwards, I think that looks like an actual car.
Yeah, they feel like they are designed by a designer, not by, when you see kit cars that are designed by a man in a shed, a man in a room who said, you know what? I don't like the professionals. I'm designing this car. If I designed a car tomorrow, it's coming out awful.
Yeah. It's coming out like the Hammerhead Eye Eagle Thrust.
Yeah. Whereas it looks like someone has actually, they might have been high as shit when they did it, but the Tuscan is a very pretty design, I think, I believe.
You know what? Ben's coming in a Bantam.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I wish to take Ben's eyes.
Mm, you lovely. Want, you want my eyes?
No, I want to take them out. Just want to remove them.
Oh, that's kind of wild.
It's not very nice, is it?
So the cigar is you like though? Or now you don't?
I like it because it's like more modern and nice. And look, do you know what? The cigar is a good example. That looks like a car. It looks like it's built like a car.
I meant the Bantam. The Bantam X. That's Ben's just, kind of kit car.
What is that?
That is, it was built in the late 90s as a like a look forward at the TT concept car. So they tried to recreate it, but it wasn't great.
What?
And it's that.
If you described it, it would sound like a TT.
Yeah. But then, you know what that is? That is an Audi TT that someone has described through a phone to someone else to create.
It's like, it's sort of...
No, like the grill like should bubble. Be like kind of roundy, but it's got slats.
Okay, I've got that written down.
Yeah, okay.
Is this what you're looking talking about?
Hold on, mate, are you drunk? Uh-oh, this is going to be good.
What the hell have you drawn?
I don't know where this even started about TV. I see TVRs everywhere now. I think that's what's the same with any car.
It's Grand Theft Auto.
They're coming to hunt you down because you don't like them.
Maybe.
I've got all of the Trevors on your back.
But the thing is that I'm not claiming that I'm right. I'm just saying that I just think that.
Do you know what? You don't feel like a TVR man.
No.
That's
really not a TVR man.
It's a bold choice you have to make if you look into... I looked at Tuscans like a few years ago and I thought, if I make this step...
You're committing.
I become TVR guy very temporarily. You have to... You can't just own it and be outside of the world.
No.
You've got to step into TVR world. You're not taking your TVR to even the most regular of garages. you need to get into the TVR people.
You're on first name basis with the people you're taking your car to.
Oh, you know George.
You must speak to Keith or Kevin or Gareth.
Or Trevor. Yeah.
Those are the only people that you go to.
Yeah.
They are, a John or a Steve is who takes, not a business.
And don't do it wrong.
No.
Don't do it differently, because that's not how the guys in Blackpool intended it.
No.
When they made the...
When they stuck the Velcro on the other side, that was not, that's why it was supposed to be.
Okay, for people who don't get the me not being TVR, what am I then? What car am I?
You're Porsche.
You're a grey Porsche 911 C4.
You are, and you know you are. We've said this multiple, and you've admitted you are.
I feel like I'm in therapy.
But you are.
Do you know what? I'll admit it, probably. But I just like cars that just aren't... just cars.
All right. I was going to make tea, but you're going to pick the Porsche every time.
Go on, do it.
No.
Well, it depends on what it is.
I don't want to.
I might not. Might be cooler.
I don't want to.
I bet I give you the choice to own a Cigaris or a Gen 1 Boxster. Which would you like to drive?
Probably a Cigaris.
Okay.
Wait, can I sell it?
Step it up.
No.
So I have to own it.
You must drive it.
So the monetary value of each car doesn't
matter. No, you must own and drive it for the next year.
Do you know what? The thing that's about me, right, is that I get so much hate that I care about reliability more than I should.
But that's fair.
I get, basically, if I have a car and it starts breaking down every 2 minutes, I don't care how cool it is, I just won't like it anymore. It just annoys me.
That was the question for last week, was it not? About reliability?
Yeah, it was about breakdown anxiety.
But that's what I mean.
I just have that. I don't care. If I have something I like, unless it is something really sentimental to me and it just doesn't work, why do I own this? I want something that works.
But so honestly, like, just looking at what would you, taking that into account, would you prefer to drive a Cigaris for a year or a Cayman, a first-gen Cayman?
And it's my only car.
It's your... No, it's the second car. It's a weekend car.
Fun car.
Well, then probably the TVR if it's fun, but I don't know. So I don't know. If you're saying, like, it's a car I have to regularly drive and have fun with, but also rely on a little bit, I'm going Porsche.
But price what? Yeah, if it was like a 997 GT3 and a Cigaris, which I imagine is...
I'll go Porsche. Yeah. So I can't wait for those comments.
Yeah, I think you'll have a lot more support than you think.
Reliability is important to me. I have fun, but also I feel like it kills the fun if, like, you go, you know what? Take my Clio, for example. I took it around the track and now it's upset. And now they're like, oh, it's just annoying. I've got to fix it.
But I don't even think that it will be even from that standpoint. I think people will just agree with you on the fact that they don't get the joke with something like a Cigaris. Take Chris Fix. When he was here, we were trying to explain to him a load of English cars that are very cool. Yeah. Escort Cosworths, Lotus Carltons.
Infuriating.
He was like, that's just a car in America. That's just a four-door saloon.
We showed him an Escort Cosworth. And bear in mind that they're worth very strong money nowadays.
Yeah.
And he went, that's like a $4,000 car in the US.
Yeah.
Brother, if you can get that for $4,000 in the US,
please,
you catch me there tomorrow.
But and we said, we explained it. And he went, yeah, but it just looks like a $4,000 car.
Come on. Come on, man.
But that's it, Ben. There are going to be people that agree with you wholeheartedly on that with TVR. But for me, not so much a Camaro. Camaro is for a personal connection for me, important. But a Tuscan and a Cigaris and a T350 and a Tamora are simply huge stoinks in Amish for
me. And they sound the absolute nuts.
Oh, just incredible. Simply incredible.
We've got here, guess the car sound.
This is interesting for you. Now, you perhaps talk among yourselves.
This is completely news to me.
This is, we've talked about doing this a few different times.
We do it in our free time.
So yes.
We'll be at the unit and we'll just pull up a little compilation on YouTube or just random. Normally it's Ben that will do it. Ben will do it to us and then we might do it back to Ben.
It's the most frustrating game because I act all like, yeah, I'm going to get them on this one. And then the first like 2,000 revs come in. They go, yeah, it's some... a Skrong Hopper 9000.
It happened, we were filming with the Yaris.
And it was I'm going to tell a story because this is ridiculous. We were filming with the Yaris, a video which would have gone out last Monday for you as we're filming this about an hour ago, right? That video, the way we shot it was we couldn't get the Yaris until about an hour after the other car. So we thought, we'll shoot like the walk around with the Delta first and the first drive of it. And then by the time that is, the Yaris arrives, we have both cars, we can do everything together, right? Nice filming day. So we stood around, we've done our bit with that. We had about 20 minutes to wait and we were sat around chatting and I'm talking, this was in the distance, a noise happened and it wasn't like a big rev. It was a car. Imagine tires rolling on the ground, like that sort of noise.
No, it was more that it was exhaust, but of an indeterminate noise. It was a frequency.
It was something louder than...
I heard nothing, yeah. Truly. No. I heard a tree rustle louder than that. And Will went, yeah, Liara's here. I was like, I looked at him like, okay, is he just taxi owner? No. It just rolled down the road and he couldn't see it. His brain just... He was had sonar.
That felt like a big brain moment.
I looked around at me. He was so chuffed.
Will was pleased.
That's the one.
Right, I'm about to play you a noise and I'd like you to tell me about this noise.
Okay. Well, I don't like this.
Are we ready?
Now, before you go any further, because there are rules and regulations that should come into play on
this game. Now, this is not, I'm going to tell you now, this is not a standard car. This is you're not supposed to get this straight away. I'm trying to ask you is using your ingenuity, using your nous to please just tell me about this thing because it's going to, you know what, life comes at you fast.
How modified are we talking?
Yes.
Can I please... Can you play it and then can I please get... Because I won't run it for Will, but he'll run it for me. So can I have a quick guess and then Will can go?
Okay, here we go. Is everyone ready?
Go on.
Ready? Got to pause it there.
V12.
Okay, Benjamin. Do you want that again?
Can you do it? Point your mic at the speakers.
I can. 2 moments. I'm just going to... Now, this is... Will's brain is just going over there.
All right, okay. Now, right. And now, if this was a wine, I'm going to say, like, initially, we've got tones of E92 M3 or B7 RS4.
Yep.
But then it changes completely.
And that's on the intake.
Because then I've got the high-pitchedness of V10 in nature.
Okay. Well, Ben was going
to... I think it's V12. I think you're wrong.
Okay.
Okay.
It's V12. I'm actually now regretting saying that. It's a V12. It sounded like a clear 182 at the very, very start.
That's I can see. I think there might be another flyby if you'd like me to get this one.
If we could, that'd
be nice. Here you go.
I'm trying to engineer it. Oh no, no, it is a V8. That's a V8.
Okay, I'm gonna give you the last five seconds.
It feels slower. I'm going to say it is a V12.
Okay.
BMW.
It's a V8 Ferrari.
Now, do you remember a couple of weeks ago I talked about two gentlemen building a car?
No.
A Lincoln Continental in America that they were custom building a V10 for. So they built this V10, and these guys are these are one of my new favorite YouTubers of all time. They decided, you know what, I'm going to. Not just, you know, when someone goes, I want to make an exhaust. Also, I can tell you, you just want me to tell you what it is. But I'm sorry, there's some pre-warning, preamble. You know, people go, all right, I want my car to be louder. Exhaust, put on. That's it. No, these guys, they measured the frequency of Carrera GTs and LFAs to work out how to make it sound like that. And managed to match the back box design of the Yamaha LFA V10 on this DIY home. This is a truck engine. This is a V10 truck engine that was in, like, just... pickups that they've built 4-valve heads for.
But petrol, obviously.
Yeah. Build custom heads for, and they built this exhaust for. And so when it comes, it sounds like a Viper. That is like Viper intake, low, deep noise. When it comes past you, that's a Gallardo 5-litre.
I was going to say, it felt like an LFA.
LFA type thing. That's incredible.
The only thing that put me off that, because obviously it's revving very slowly.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel... exotic,
but that is the fact that the car before, when they drove it sounded dull.
Yeah,
it sounded but just from doing exhaust work, and obviously advanced exhaust work, this is engineering type beat to make it sound like an LFA, that's incredible. I found it, I was like, you know what? this is gonna mess Will's day up.
What is it?
It's a Lincoln Continental is what it's in.
There's a V10 petrol.
It's a V10 petrol, but with custom heads to make it rev out. And I believe it's making over 600 horsepower. It makes more than the LFA now from a 5-litre. Go and have a watch of the channel. It's called Build It Yourself. And it is, they're doing big things.
Big things.
I feel ashamed.
Because you went.
Yeah.
Ben, you know what? That's the name of the
game. I don't want to talk about it.
Do you know what? We have talked about doing it a couple of times. These engine sounds. I can pull one up now.
I'm on board.
Pull up now very quickly.
Okay, here we go.
We'll do 5
I'm
minutes
on board
of,
for it.
Okay.
And if the creamers enjoy it and it's a listenable experience,
we'll do a whole podcast.
We'll do a 2-hour podcast of just noise.
We also thought about doing it, like going like beyond exhaust notes and going to sort of like the closing
door, closes and stuff. That's for Will and I.
Jesus,
I guess I'm going to be the grandmaster. I reckon at the moment.
You're so broken.
You'd get E53 X5 soft close boot noise.
You know what?
I actually would. Do you know what? I would also get Range Rover 4.4 V8 starter motor.
Oh hell! So starter motors is a great one.
Starter motors is a good one.
Yeah. Eventual starter motor. We'll get
all of my E46 people out there. If you got a coupe or a saloon, you know that boot close. You know that boot open. Ben, you don't know.
I turbocharge my boot.
Right. This is, I've not chosen one of the...
I keep looking at the screen. I don't know what I'm looking
I've not
for.
Chosen one of the clip. There are tests that you can get.
Because we've played them.
This is a gun barrel. You know, the car spotter man. Yeah. I'm just going to go for, this is just a random car. So here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
Benjamin, to start, please. You have five seconds.
V12, it's a, that is, drives, that is, drives. I'm panicking. That is... It's an Aventador, but it's shifting too quick.
Okay, William?
It's an F12 or an 812.
Love.
Or it's 6.3 Ferrari noise.
It is a Ferrari F12.
But sorry, can I get a bit of props there?
Good stuff, Ben.
I got that wrong.
For those of you at home, I'd like to play along. Perhaps put some answers in the comments.
we'll just say nothing for 5 seconds. Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, a lot of these are modified. So that kind of skews the game.
That's where it gets a bit muddy.
Are we ready? We've got one more. We're going to go for three. So one down. Right. Second one. Will, anything from that?
That's an M5, E60.
What?
See, it is, so that, to me, instantly BMW. That was just a car pulling away, really. I'll play a little bit more for you and see if you can get that bit more.
What? That was like, what?
I just can't hear it.
No, you're...
Okay, we're going to go a bit more.
Do you want to turn your...
What the heck? The shifts are don't let the rev limit banging off the limiter skew you as to the sort of car that was. Does the crewman want it one more time?
Yeah.
Can we get it one more time?
Turn the mic set.
Off of that little liftoff, I'm going to say that's BMW.
Okay. F80. I'm going to say M3.
Okay.
Whatever it is.
But it's with a mid pipe F80 M3.
Correct. Yeah. It's not an F80. Sorry, it's an
M4.
What's the
F82?
No, what's the new one?
G80.
It's a G80. Okay. Yeah, that's it.
We smashed that.
You're good. Right, now this one.
Is that not a three cylinder?
Yaris, mate.
Now, I don't want any slip-ups on this, please. We all know what we're doing here. Ready?
I'll let Ben go first.
That is an Aventador. Okay. Or a Merchelago.
No.
Which one is it, Ben?
Aventador.
Yeah. Surely.
Do you know how I did it? It was by shift. The first shift was too quick. The rest of them were then... Because you always know in the distance when you hear an Aventador, because you hear it go...
Now, Will,
and then pauses.
From you, I want more specificity. Because
I'm going to say that's a standard SV.
Okay.
I'm going to say it's an LP700-4.
Is unfortunately an SVJ.
Oh, I don't know.
Whoa.
But I'm pretty happy with that. That was good. We'll bring this back. I want to be in it next time.
We'll have to bring in...
I'll make a list.
Independent adjudicator.
Will you check it twice?
Yes. I'm going to find out. You know, we don't even say it. Who's not your nice?
Okay.
We actually did it one time, I would just quickly say, for the creamers. We did it just for fun in the unit because that's how sad we are. And I thought, I'm going to get these guys. I played a Lexus IS250, which has a V6. And when you straight pipe them, they sound a little bit GTR spec, but they have the most mental rev limiter for like a saloon. It literally like, it's like a machine gun.
Yeah, it's...
And I played it for them, like thinking, I've got them, they're going to say GTR. And within seconds, they both went, yeah, IS250. And I was like, okay, so I need to work out a way that I can get a list that will actually be difficult
for
them.
But for maximum fairness, it should be as standard as possible.
Yeah,
because you minimize how much it's skewed.
And also, I can kind of, like, there was one we did, which was a Huracan, or I think it was an R8. You got cars that share engines and sound almost identical. If you can get those, which are, maybe there are differences,
there might
maybe it's in the crackle or the change or whatever, then cool. But I would back us. I would back both of us.
Yeah, we're
with Ben tagging in as a sort of like a.
I don't throw you know. Off.
Tag Ben in for the misinformation and then come back out.
Oh, sorry,
tag Ben in for the
E53
X5.
I can't tell you if it's a BMW from the way the wheels spin off the line. That's ridiculous.
You can get that sometimes.
You can call me weird all you want and make fun of you for it, but you guys are the weird ones.
No, Ben, you're the normal one.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Do we have a forum to end with?
We've got a forum and a Carspiracy today to treat the creamers.
Double cream.
Today's forum question is from my dad, who likes to listen to the podcast a lot every week, apparently.
Here you go.
Whilst he walks a dog. And he said to me, can I please ask a question?
Your
and
dog's
I said,
a creamer.
Ooh, okay.
And your dad is a creamer.
Okay.
Your dad creams with your dog.
No.
Anyway, okay.
Don't like question. That. Sorry, Ben's dad.
That's unpleasant. He wants to know, when you're driving your car or you're with another car, you hear it on the road, what is the noise? The bad noise that you hear and you immediately wince or you think, oh God, it's over for you boys.
Okay.
He said his one is if he hears a wheel scratch, it's over for him. If you hear like a little curb, the little...
But that's like... It's the opposite of a high. I guess it's a low perhaps, but it's something you... It's recoverable.
Mm.
It's not that... Unless you're driving around in a car that's got wheels that are £1 million or whatever. But yeah, now a wheel's bad initially, but you get over it.
Do you know what? For me, it's more subconscious. I grow.
Oh.
I gain trust in a car.
Yeah.
And then something small. If I hear like a bolt noise, we've all heard it, a bolt falling off of a car. You hear the hum ding 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 going down the that instantly wipes all my confidence in the car.
Yeah. I've only ever had once an engine fail noise, and that is possibly the only time I've really felt like a heart sinking moment.
Yeah.
It was the it was just Rod Mock basically, and I heard it, and then I slightly picked the revs up, and it went. And I was like,
"That's it."
I feel I know what this is. There's a possibility it might not be, but it's very unlikely. That was the only time I was really like that. That's it.
That's it.
Flat tire is a classic.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Because then that's like I ain't fixing this now. This is a dent in my day.
I've had a quite embarrassing one with a flat tire like that is I borrowed my mum's car to is right when I started dating my girlfriend to go on a date.
Mm.
Left hers. It was very, very late. And I got on the motorway. And as I got on the motorway, it pinged up. You got low tire. Your tire's gone. I was like, no, surely not. Pulled over to the side of the road. It was flat. It was like, you know, when you have it's not a puncture. It's a full puncture.
It's not like a slow.
No, it rim on the floor, gone. So I had to get recovered after like 6 or 7 hours, went home, got another tire, fitted it to a spare wheel, came back, swapped it over. Turns out tire was just low.
Nice.
It wasn't a puncture. I could have just used an air, like a tire pump and pumped it back up. Somehow it had just completely lost pressure. I was fuming because I'd gone through all of this thinking complete puncture, it's ripped the tire or something.
Yeah.
And I could have just pumped it up.
It's actually quite tough.
I was angry for weeks after that.
Mine's a gearbox crunch.
Any
gearbox noises actually? Yeah, like any when you suddenly get like a whine or.
But it's even you know like sometimes in like a manual you'll slap that thing into reverse.
Sure.
And it will like do a little crunch that goes in on some cars if it's an older car perhaps. Even then it gets me.
Really?
I know it's relevant to my current situation.
Yeah.
But like but genuinely it gets me. I wince to high heaven.
I whine like a gearbox thing. I just put down to old car. I'm like, it's just an old car. It's fine. Mm. So I'm more used to that. But yeah, I also, for me, it's not so much a noise, but a temperature needle that moves.
Yeah.
A temperature needle, I want that thing staying solid. The moment I watch it creep up 0.1%, I panic.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing?
I'm like, this engine's going to blow up.
You're meant to be balance.
You can hear it just going up. You're like, that's my least favorite car. Oh, yeah. Well, I guess when it overheats, that's not also great. Not great.
Though, to be fair, basically, what?
Sorry, bit of silence for a second.
To be fair, basically every car noise, it worries me.
Yeah, a knock. Just noises, really. Do you know what? I was the Range Rover. It's the worst car for it because it's not really double glazing, but it does have like two normal-ish windows stuck together. So you hear nothing.
Yeah.
And I've for God knows how long I may have had this caliper thing. I think it's relatively recent. But I parked up, so overnight, parked up, went out the next morning to drive here, and I was reversing back. I was like, that's a flat tire.
Yeah.
Because I just heard the whoosh. I was like, it's a flat. And it sounded flat. I was like, I'm fairly sure I would notice on a Range Rover, if it was flat, you'd probably be a slight lean. And I got out, I looked at the wheel, I was like, it's fine. I got back in the car, reversed. I was like, what the f*** is going on? But then, again, before that, I started driving, heard nothing.
What?
Just nothing. You can't hear anything in it.
What? Because it's just so.
Unless you'd have to have a catastrophic knock or noise to hear anything in there.
It explains why I see so many Range Rovers driving around in such dilapidated condition. Yeah, they can't hear it.
They cannot hear a thing.
They are completely. Meanwhile, inside they're just hearing.
Yeah. Inside is peace and tranquility, and outside is hell. when it had a CV joint click, which is when
that,
I bought
that was
it,
crazy.
That was a very loud noise, and the only reason I ever heard it is because I put the windows down one day, and I turned a corner and went oh, and then I put the window up, gone, nothing.
I had that the X5, you just can't hear it squeaking ever.
Other than like noises, like feelings, like a wheel wobble that annoys me,
really annoying,
because it could be eight different things.
Yeah,
it could be your tire pressures, it could be suspension arms, it could be bad wheels, but it's just annoying.
Mm.
I'm also, when you have a passenger, I'm conscious, I'm like, they can just see my arm going.
Yeah.
or you hit the brakes and you could, have you ever, when you have a wheel wobble, that's relatively bad and there's no one in the passenger seat and you can see your seat next to you just going.
Yeah. I always think that. Whenever I look across, I go, oh, it must be really bad, mustn't it?
If I had a passenger in there, they're just in there. Oh, it's a lovely massage seat you've got here.
I used to have it in my A3. Whenever I used to drive to like the unit, well, not the unit we had, but the space we had when we were at Carthrall, there's like, I used to always, I'd be on the map of ages, I'd look over to my other seat and they didn't have a wheel wobble, but that seat just moved. Like it would just do that. And it used to do my head in. I used to put my bag on the seat so just enough weight to stop it. Because I just look back and there was the headrest just waving backwards and forwards at me. And in my peripheral, oh, so annoying.
No, realistically, we're car people, I think we've talked about it before. The curse of knowledge is true.
Yeah.
I get in my sister's old Golf when my old Golf and cataclysmic noises are going on. She's like, it's fine. It's a car, it drives.
Yeah. Ignorance is bliss.
It genuinely is. I wish to be part of that.
Because it's just a nicer place to be.
Yeah.
But you're just, these also, are all normal.
9 times out of 10, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's not an issue. It's just in your own head.
It's even smaller than you, it's way smaller than you think it's going to be.
A car conspiracy for you, perhaps, to end.
Do you have a shortened version of that word to maybe streamline it down?
Conspiracy.
I like that. I thought that was nice.
Okay, we haven't had one of these for a while because truthfully, we ran out of decent ones.
It's true.
Yeah, you gave us some really disappointing ones.
We've got one that I think is quite good. This is from Tyrell Scarlett and the numbers on your name, YouTube.
It's a long name.
My conspiracy is that inept drivers are failed traffic calming measures.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever come across a driver that is so unconfident and bad and holds everyone up? My theory is that these drivers are government drones, similar to pigeons.
I don't understand
that bit.
Do you not know that?
No.
That pigeons are government drones. They don't actually exist. They're not real animals.
Okay. Is that why they're like the only bird that gets hit by cars? They're just not.
I think there's lots of them.
The whole joke is that they are not. They're
pigeons
not real.
Are cameras.
They're not real. They're government drones.
I've seen.
Tell that to cats. They're tucking into a tasty pigeon.
Alex, just maybe see you later. I'd love to see that one.
My theory is that these drivers are government drones similar to the pigeon species. I believe these drivers were originally intended to be traffic calming measures similar to a speed bump or an average speed check, but they are mobile and deployable anywhere. That is the only conceivable reason why anyone would be doing 20 on an ideal national speed limit road in public conditions. Now, what I don't understand about this is why you said they were originally intended to be that. So you're saying they've changed?
No, because they've broken free from their chains.
And now,
it's like iRobot.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
No. No, they've just decided, you know what? I like the slow life.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna assume it.
Now, it's ridiculous. But it's almost the best explanation for why some people are so stupid.
Yeah.
Because how can they be
how
that stupid?
They? Also, I reckon there must be some form of extortion because it's old people. So it must be the government saying, we're not going to give you your pension unless on a Sunday you get in that Rover.
You
get in that Rover 75.
Up.
You've done well, so you've got the 75. You don't have a 200 anymore. You better hold some people up. If so, you might get heating for this winter.
Just might. I'll keep you warm.
If not, done.
You're done.
You're done. So go hold some drivers up.
Go get out there. Get on the brakes.
Which is why they look.
Get on the brake. Every time something comes the other way,
hit the brake. Full, hit the brakes. Full emergency stop.
Hit the brakes.
Which must be why they're so scared. Why they look so scared behind the wheel? Not because of driving, but because they're just petrified that they're not going to live.
If I
day.
Get this right, wrong, yeah. wrong, right, then I'm no more heating for me.
That's it.
But what about the younger ones? Are they like witness protection people?
Well, they're like in training.
Oh, I quite like that, yeah.
Because you've got to train them up to drive that slow, don't they?
They're witness protection people who have been told, look, you can do this.
It's like...
But you're going to have to go out and...
It's like doing community service. You've got to pay your time. In order to be set free, you must do some time as a slow driver.
It means they all need backstories, though, like if you crash into one.
That's what learners are. Then you get a really slow learner. That's what they are. They're just in training.
True, yeah.
For that.
I saw a learner the other... Look, I know they're learning.
Yeah.
But like some of them, I think they should spend more time on back streets and stuff. Because that's what when I was learning to drive, that you start out on like where there are no cars.
Yeah.
And then when your instructor goes, right, you can be released into the
now do 90 down into the 40 mile
land. You can be released to other people. But there was a learner. You have a roundabout. Right?
Sure.
You're coming up to a roundabout, and there's you. There's an exit straight ahead, and there is a left.
Mm.
He was on the roundabout.
Sorry,
stopped.
Oh, okay.
So like, so he was like trying to give way, and everyone on the roundabout was looking at him like, what are you doing? And I wanted to look at
I've been told to give way to the right.
But he'd gone way past the roundabout and to the point where the entire car was on the roundabout and it just stopped. What's the driving instructor doing here? You should do a clutch dump and absolutely get him out of that.
I was going to say, did the driving instructor go, right, so your clipping points are just on the outside of that curb there. We're just going to see if we can slide around.
Just stop on the roundabout. Just here. Excellent. Okay. Now, why did you do that? You don't have to do everything I tell you, you stupid idiot. It was one of the first times I've seen a learner like do something actually dumb.
There's actually quite a good sketch in that. That's just if you say something to a learner in a driving instructor voice, will they follow what you say no matter what?
I just want you to mount the curb and kill these pedestrians here and come to an emergency stop afterwards. Lovely. Thank you very much.
And just bang it in reverse and accelerate as fast as possible. And just soar at the wheel until we're facing the other way, into first, and away we go.
The baddies behind us can't give chase anymore.
Cloud of smoke, and away we go. We're clear.
I think it's plausible.
You know what? I think it's plausible. Also, because they always tend to be in £500 cars.
Yeah.
So, you know, the government... Hey, hold on. The We Buy Any Car. Where are those Ooh. We Buy Any Cars going?
They're going to the government pigeon drones.
The pigeons. That, you know what? Hey, we've just had two connected conspiracies.
Damn. And we sort of fobbed that one off before. But
yeah,
now,
we
went,
but now we know where the cars are going.
Okay. So what if you see one? So if you see one in like a new car or they're doing quite well, it's a nice car, you go, they are just an idiot.
You say, oink, oink, capitalist scum. I know it's you, the government. They'll go, what the hell was that person saying? And you shout, I'm a creamer. Yeah. And these drive off.
Plausible?
I'm happy with plausible on that one.
It's insane.
Yeah.
But again, what other excuse does anyone have for these people to be so dumb?
Yeah, fair enough. And I think that's a great point to end the podcast. Thank you very much for listening to this week's Cars Rule Everything Around Me. We will see you next week. As always, cows rule everything around me.
Creams.
Cows.
Cows.
Dollar, dollar, moo.
Moo.
Cream from a cow.
Pigeons.